Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Welcome to English Digest. And today we're going to talk about our literature unit. We're talking about our featured novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Last time we summarized the plot for you. It's all about Janie Crawford, the main character, and how she had a hard life and had some bad husbands and stuff like that. But in the end, she was proud of the decisions she had made. Now, in today's lesson, we're going to be talking about the author herself, and her name is Zora Neale Hurston, and she was born way back in 1891 in Alabama. We'll talk about her life and times, and, you know, as I read her biography here, it kind of sounded similar to the book. It sounds like her life was similar to the main character in her novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God.
She was definitely independent, that's for sure. And she was born in the South but ended up going to New York City, where there were a lot of really great artists who were in the black community. We called it Harlem. It's still Harlem in New York City if you go over there. The Harlem Renaissance. So there was a lot of good music, good writing, good scholarship that was happening at that point. And she was right there in the thick of it. Let's go ahead and read through our article, guys, and we'll be back to talk about it.
American author Zora Neale Hurston was born in 1891 in Alabama. Her mother was a schoolteacher and her father was a preacher. While Hurston was still a baby, her family relocated to Florida in search of a better life. After years of effort, her father was elected mayor of Eatonville, Florida. His success provided the family with enough money to give Hurston a good education. After graduating from a prestigious high school in Baltimore, Hurston enrolled at Howard University. While attending Howard, Hurston decided to pursue her interest in writing more seriously. She published her first story in the school's magazine in 1921. After graduation, Hurston moved to New York City. She became an important figure in the Harlem Renaissance, a cultural movement that showcased the talent of black artists for the first time in American history. Hurston partnered with acclaimed poet Langston Hughes and novelist Wallace Thurman to set up Fire, an edgy magazine that aimed to express the attitudes of young black Americans. At the same time, Hurston also began studying anthropology at Barnard College. Hurston had to wait several years before her most famous work, Their Eyes Were Watching God, was published. Initially, the novel received negative feedback from reviewers. Many critics called her work shallow, claiming it didn't have any central theme. Others rejected her work because her lead character was extremely independent in a time when women were expected to be subservient. As a result of this criticism, sales were poor, and Hurston was forced to work as a maid. Hurston died in poverty in 1960. Yet in the late 1960s, her works were rediscovered by a new generation. They became symbolic of the struggle for equal rights that both black people and feminists were fighting for.
So today we're going to be talking about the author, Zora Neale Hurston. She was born back in 1891 in the southern part of the United States in a state called Alabama, which is very southern. If you ever get a chance to go there, they have a real southern accent. And their food is very delicious, but very fattening. They like to deep fry things and put lots of butter on it. So let's talk about her family. Her mother was a school teacher and her father was a preacher. While Hurston was still a baby, her family relocated to Florida in search of a better life. I think, yeah, Florida was definitely less, had less of a problem with racial issues than Alabama. So it was still South, but they seemed to be more welcoming of the African-American community. Back then, they were just called Black. So her family moved to Florida in search of a better life. After years of effort, her father was elected mayor of Eatonville, Florida. So she knows what it's like to be in a family with politicians. So that gave her some background when she was starting to write Their Eyes Were Watching God, because remember, Jody became elected mayor of a city as well.
So she knew what it was like to be related to somebody who is the mayor of a town. So her father, as a preacher man, I guess, was respected by the community. And as a result, he was able to run successfully for the job of mayor of Eatonville, Florida. This is happening a really long time ago, but his success provided the family with enough money to give Hurston a good education. So, yes, indeed, he made money as a preacher, probably, but he made more money as the mayor of Eatonville. And if you're the mayor, of course, you probably have influence and you can make money in other ways, maybe through investing and things like that. And so he was quite successful, which meant he had a good income and that was able to pay for her good education. So then she was sent north to Baltimore, Maryland. So after graduating from a prestigious high school in Baltimore, Hurston enrolled in Howard University. So this is a prestigious high school in Baltimore. A prestigious high school means it's well-known, it's famous, it's probably very expensive, and probably very difficult to get into.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the best universities anywhere. That's true. If it's called a prestigious place, guys, it just means a lot of people respect it. It's looked up to. A lot of people admire it, probably because of its status. So that is really one of the biggest African-American universities in the United States. I can't say that a lot of white kids will go there or even Asian kids go to Howard University. It's known for having a really large Black population at that school, and it was prestigious even then, you know. So to get into that school actually gave her a lift up, you know, a leg up on continuing to, you know, gain more and more education and scholarship. And from that point, she decided she wanted to really become a writer. So that's when she found her, you know, her love of her life, and that was writing. And she decided to pursue her interest more seriously at that point.
Exactly. So again, she graduated from a prestigious high school in Baltimore, then went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. And while attending Howard, she decided to pursue her interest in writing more seriously. I don't know what her major was when she was at Howard. Maybe she started off as pre-med or pre-law or something like that and thought, but my passion in life is writing. So she decided to pursue writing more seriously, and she published her first story in the school's magazine in 1921. So, of course, various universities have various publications. This was the school's magazine. Maybe it was their literary magazine or something like that, and she published her first story way back in 1921, just after World War I ended. And after graduation, Hurston moved to New York City, as a lot of people do to pursue their career. The famous folk singer Bob Dylan, for example, was living in Minneapolis for a while, but he realized, well, this is a nice town and everything, but things are really happening in New York. So he moved to New York, and the same thing happened here to Zora Neale Hurston. She moved from Washington, D.C., I guess, to the Big Apple, New York City, to pursue her career there.
Oh, yeah. It was a really happening place back then. I've actually been up to Harlem to visit the very famous Apollo Theater. They give tours up there. It's kind of cool. That area of New York City is still primarily Black, but there's so much history from this point when Zora was living there. We're calling it a Harlem Renaissance. A Renaissance is when there's a revival of something. We usually refer to the Renaissance as being a European thing where art and literature became very well developed. And, you know, people developed and gained knowledge very quickly, especially science. Well, here in Harlem, it was more about writing and music and just scholarly black figures that would go on to become big figures in American history. So she became an important figure as well in the Harlem Renaissance. Here are writers describing it as a cultural movement that showcased the talent of black artists for the first time in American history. This is true. It was the first time that the rest of the population in America were seeing this huge amount of talent come from the black community. If you showcase something, you kind of set it up in a situation where the best of that talent is shown to other people. We'll often have talent showcases where the talented people will either sing or maybe read their poetry, just let people know about that talent that they have.
Right, and this, of course, is showcasing the talent of black artists for the first time. There were famous black people before the Harlem Renaissance, like Stephen Douglas and George Washington Carver and stuff like that, but I guess this was the first one that highlighted black artists so they could make a name in the culture of the USA in terms of arts and music and poetry and stuff like that. And Hurston partnered with acclaimed poet Langston Hughes and novelist Wallace Thurman to set up Fire, an edgy magazine that aimed to express the attitudes of young black Americans. So she went to Harlem there, which is in the northern part of Manhattan there, north of Central Park there, and she partnered with the acclaimed poet Langston Hughes. Uh-huh. He's acclaimed, which means he's famous, but also recognized as being famous and recognized as being really good. And I guess he was like a jazz poet or something like that. And so he was a poet there. And then also we've got Wallace Thurman, who is a novelist. And together they set up Fire. Okay, to set something up means to establish that thing, to start it, to provide the foundation for it, to come up with the money and do all the work necessary to start publishing this magazine. It was called Fire, and we're describing this as an edgy magazine. If something's edgy, I guess it's doing things that are kind of radical, that haven't really been done before. It's kind of bold, kind of assertive, and it was expressing the attitude of young black Americans who, I guess, before that time were probably told to, not say too much.
Yeah,
be quiet. Get in trouble. Yeah,
sure.
Just do as you're told. Mm. Don't cause trouble. But this magazine came out and was a way for these people to express their attitudes.
Yeah, we often use that word edgy to describe music, too. It's something that's shocking is a little edgy. When Lady Gaga first came out, and I remember she wore some sort of outfit that was made of meat, which was weird. It was a little edgy, a little shocking to people. Well, they set up this magazine, and at the same time that was happening, Hurston also began studying anthropology at Barnard College. Barnard College is just for women. No men are allowed in.
Is it part of Columbia or
something? It's part
like
of Harvard,
that?
I believe.
Oh, it is.
It's part of Columbia, of course. My voice teacher went to Barnard. Anthropology is the study of a human culture, a human society, and often they're comparing one society with another. It could be long ago, societies that existed long ago, or contemporary societies. So she was studying that at Barnard College, part of the Columbia system. And before we continue on, I'm just looking at the time, we should probably take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk about Zora Neale Hurston.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Holly。今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元的第二天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会阅读到小说《Their Eyes Were Watching God》的作者 Zora Neale Hurston 的成长过程及创作背景。首先，文章的第一段提到 Hurston 是一名生长于美国阿拉巴马州的黑人女性，她的家境不错，所以能让她接受良好的教育。我们看到第一段的While Hurston was still a baby, her family relocated to Florida in search of a better life. 当赫斯顿还是婴儿时，他们家搬迁到佛罗里达州，寻求更好的生活。动词 relocate 是指 move to a different place or to make someone do this, 也就是搬迁或重新安置的意思。例如 ,The government has relocated hundreds of families from the flooded area. 政府已经重新安置水灾地区的数百户人家。另外和 relocate 相关的动词 locate 有使坐落于或找出位置的意思。例如 ,The MRT train broke down and the engineers are trying to locate the fault. 捷运车辆故障，工程师们正在找出故障的地方。要注意的是，如果要说某事物位于某处时，要用被动语态，也就是某事物 be located 加介系词加地方。此时的 located 也可以用 situated 代替。Situated, S-I-T-U-A-T-E-D. 例如 ,The hotel we lived in is located on a hilltop, commanding a good view of the city. 我们住的旅馆位于一座山丘顶上，俯瞰城市美景。文章的第二段提到 Hurston 后来就读 Howard University。毕业后还和其他人一起创办了一本杂志，专门介绍美国年轻黑人。我们看到第二段的 She became an important figure in the Harlem Renaissance, a culture movement that showcased the talent of black artists for the first time in American history. 她在哈林文艺复兴运动里成为一名重要的人物，这是美国史上首遭展现黑人艺术家天赋的一场文化运动。首先，我们看到这句有一个专有名词 Harlem Renaissance， 中文翻译为哈林文艺复兴，又称为新黑人文艺复兴。这个运动主要是诉求黑人不再像是传统的旧黑人，在白人社会中扮演顺从、屈服的角色。新一代的黑人展现出民族自豪感，透过文学、艺术、音乐等来显示自我价值、自尊心以及独立的人格特质。我们接着再看这句有一个名词 figure， 在此是人物的意思，像 public figure 就是指公众人物， political figure 就是指政治人物。 figure 当名词时还有数字几位数的意思，例如 due to his hard work Mark's bonus reached six figures this year， 由于马克的努力工作，他今年的奖金有六位数。另外 ,figure 还可以指女性的身材。例如 ,keep one's figure, 就是指保持苗条身材。watch one's figure, 就是指注意保持身材。例如 ,to keep her figure, Lisa exercises regularly. 为了保持苗条身材，丽莎规律运动。
We're gonna take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're talking about the American author Zora Neale Hurston, and she is the author of our featured work of literature in this month's literature unit, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Now, in the first part of our program, we talked about her life and times. She's from Alabama. Her father was a preacher who became a mayor of a town in Florida. She went to a prestigious high school in Baltimore, attended Howard University, and then moved to New York City to be part of the Harlem Renaissance, and together with Langston Hughes and the other novelist there, whose name escapes me right now, they established this magazine, Fire, which was an edgy magazine that expressed the attitudes of young black Americans. The author was Wallace Thurman, excuse me. Now, Hurston had to wait several years before her most famous work, Their Eyes Were Watching God, was published. Okay, remember she found her life's dream was to be a writer. And so, unfortunately, though, like a lot of writers, she had to wait a very, very long time, probably even longer because she was black, because her book came out many years later. Her most famous book, of course, was Their Eyes Were Watching God. She had to wait a long time before it was finally published.
Yeah, she really did. Well, initially, which means at the beginning, at first, you could say, the novel received negative feedback from reviewers. Those reviewers are typically called critics. You know, a book critic is look to quite, like, you know, with respect by readers. I don't always read what the critics say about books. I talk to my friends instead who know what I like, and I trust their opinion a lot more than some of these critics. If you give feedback to somebody, you give them... You tell them your opinion about what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. Please never put an S on feedback, guys.
Oh.
It's non-count. I see feedbacks all the time.
Oh.
Or, which is even worse, I think, I work with people who use feedback as a verb. No, you cannot feedback to other people. Oh, I want to feedback to you. No. Or he fed back to me. What? No. You give feedback to someone, or received. Someone can receive feedback. Be careful with those words. So, it wasn't very well received, you could say. It was criticized, and it probably broke her heart.
Maybe, maybe not. She might have been used to that or maybe expected that. I don't know. But, of course, the reviewers didn't really like it, and she got negative feedback. Many critics called her work shallow, claiming it didn't have any central theme. If something is shallow, it's just simply not very deep. It could be a shallow lake, for example, a shallow ocean, a shallow stream. But in this particular case, it doesn't have a lot of depth. Maybe the characters are not very well developed. The plot is too simple. It's not complicated enough.
Yeah.
So the critics thought, this is really shallow. It's like a kid's book or something. And they claimed it didn't have any central theme, a central idea. What the heck is this book all about? Why
right.
are we reading this? So that's what they claimed. If you claim something, that means you just state officially the case. You assert that something is the case. I claim that your novel is no good.
But you could claim something that is actually false. So just because someone claims something doesn't mean it's true. You have to check it out. Others rejected her work because her lead character was extremely independent in a time when women were expected to be subservient. Oh, yay. I'm so glad I wasn't born back then. I would have had a hard time with this. So if you reject something, you say no to it. For example, if a guy asks you out on a date and you don't want to go, you can reject his offer. A lot of young writers will write and submit their manuscript to a publishing company, but it will be rejected. The company will say, no, thank you, we're not interested. Her work was rejected. At least their eyes were watching God, because folks thought that Janie, the lead character, was a little too independent. And back then, women really hadn't gained equality in the world. And for black women, it was even worse than for white women back then, too. So she was not seen as a really great author, although today her book is considered to be a masterpiece or one of the best books written.
Yeah, like a lot of painters or authors, sometimes they just aren't discovered until after they're gone. And that was the case with her. I guess her character was just too strong. She was ahead of her time, as we would say. And as a result of this criticism, sales were poor and Hurston was forced to work as a maid. So as a result, because of this criticism, the book did not sell very well. This is criticism. That means people are saying things about something. Criticism can be good or bad, but oftentimes if we see the word criticism, it tends to mean it's negative, okay? So because of this criticism, because people were saying her book was no good, the book did not sell well, so she was forced to work as a maid, which means you change bed sheets, you wash clothes, you sweep floors and stuff like that. That's not really something that should be happening to someone with such a good education.
Yeah, with such a great literary talent. Now, it says that Hurston died in poverty in 1960. Poverty is the state of being poor. So when we use poverty, you'll often see in. They're living in poverty. She died in poverty. But you could just say she died poor in 1960, although this sounds better in poverty, sounds better than poor there. But be careful with this. You need to use that in poverty. Yet in the late 1960s, after she passed away, her works were rediscovered by a new generation, probably young writers. I know kids that are in college, kids, I say kids, but maybe you're pursuing a master's degree in literature and you need a thesis. Maybe you're looking for a writer that hasn't been written about very much, or maybe you're working on your PhD and you want a topic that's kind of new. Someone went back and found her and decided, ooh, let's take another look at her writing in today's world where opinions are a little different, culture has changed, and that's how she was rediscovered by a new generation.
Maybe by the counterculture revolution of the hippies in the late 60s, they discovered a lot of old writers and maybe some old blues singers as a result.
Or civil rights activists, you know.
There you go. Lots of people were very politically active back then, so the new generation rediscovered her works, and they became symbolic of the struggle for equal rights that both black people and feminists were fighting for. So I guess this kind of book rang a bell or rang a tune, I guess. Is that the phrase we use?
Rang a bell, pushed someone's buttons.
There you go.
You know?
Yes, the feminists thought, hey, here's a book about a strong woman and black people. So, hey, here's a story about a strong black person. So this book kind of became symbolic to them.
Yeah.
Symbolic means it represents something to them. It means something, and it basically tells the story that they want to tell.
Right. So I'm glad she was rediscovered. We both recommend it. Take a look at it just to see what Alabama was like, you know, back in the southern part of the United States back then. It's very different from today. So you can get a look at how they spoke as well. She uses real southern dialect when she has her characters talk. So it's very interesting to take a peek at other people's experience of life. Right now, guys, we're going to take another quick break to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
文章的第三四段提到 ,Hurston 出版了他最知名的著作 Their Eyes Were Watching God, 但这本小说在他的年代受到很多批评，因为当时的女性扮演顺从的角色，但小说的女主角却反叛且独立，一直到 Hurston 过世后，后人才重新审视这本小说的价值，并给予极高的评价。我们看到第三段第三句 ,Many critics called her work shallow, claiming it didn't have any central theme. 许多批评家认为她的作品肤浅，声称她的作品没有任何核心主题。动词 claim 在本句是声称、主张的意思。claim 还可以用来表示夺走生命，例如 ,The fierce hurricane has claimed hundreds of lives. 这个强烈飓风已夺走数百条人命。我们看到最后一段的最后一句 They became symbolic of the struggle for equal rights that both black people and feminists were fighting for. 他的作品成为努力争取黑人与女性主义者所奋斗的平权的象征。形容词 symbolic 是象征的意思，名词为 symbol, S-Y-M-B-O-L, 动词为 symbolize, S-Y-M-B-O-L-I-Z-E。如果我们要表示 A 象征 B, 我们可以说 A be symbolic of B, 或 A symbolize B, 或 A be a symbol of B. 例如 ,In some Western literary works, dragons symbolize evil spirits. 在某些西方文学作品中，龙象征邪恶的精神。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, everybody, that's it for today. And remember to tune in to our program next time when we go back to talk about Their Eyes Were Watching God and talk about some of the themes and idea. Until then, from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.